You're listening to the Pastor's Podcast of Mission City Fellowship of San Antonio, Texas. Mission City Fellowship exists to make and mature disciples of Christ who live all of life for the glory of God and proclaim Christ for the joy of all people. You can find more resources like this one at missioncityfellowshipsa.org.
Welcome, church family, and everyone who may be listening to this podcast. This is Pastor Rob from Mission City Fellowship in San Antonio. This is another episode in our podcast series on Christ-centered parenting. The intention and prayer of this series is to encourage and equip parents to honor Christ in their parenting. Through this series, we want parents to not only learn how to parent in Christ-honoring ways, but just as importantly, to rely on Christ in your parenting. So just a quick reminder of what we have established already in this podcast series. Our goal as Christian parents, our goal in Christ-centered parenting is that our children walk in the truth. We can think of no greater thing from 3 John. That's what he says. He says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. I think as Christian parents, we relate to that. That stirs something in us. And so that is our goal, that we want our children to walk in the truth. And we know the Spirit of God must regenerate our children's hearts. Yet at the same time, parents have a vital role in surrounding their children with the truth of God's word. That is the Bible. And we want to surround and fill their life with the reality of Christ's work, which is the gospel. When we do that, we are obeying Ephesians 6:4 that tells us we are to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As I have said each podcast, we want our children to know the truth, to love the truth, to obey the truth, and spread the truth. And we do that by surrounding them with the truth. And so really that kind of gives to us how we can be praying for our kids, that they would love the truth as they hear it, that they really would know the truth, that they would seek to obey the truth in their life, and that wherever God gives them opportunity, they spread that truth. Last podcast, our focus shifted just a little bit from parenting to grandparenting. I did an interview with Pastor Larry McCall about his book, Grandparenting with Grace. I love Larry's pastoral heart. I just love the wisdom and encouragement he gives us in this book. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, I encourage you to take time to hear it, even if you're not a grandparent. It will help you understand how to be intentional in all your relationships, how to have a redemptive intention in your relationships. For parents, it will help you to develop healthy guidelines and avenues, so to say, between your children and your parents. Give it a listen. I don't think you will be disappointed. This week, we focus on a different topic for parenting, for Christ-centered parenting. We focus this week on the rhythms of the gospel in our parenting. The rhythms of the gospel in our parenting. How can we practice the rhythms of the gospel in raising our children? So we need to first understand something about the gospel. The gospel, which is good news, it is a very specific solution to a very specific problem. It is a solution to our sin problem. It is how God took care of our sin that separated us from Him and kept us under His judgment. In our parenting, we know sin is present in our heart. At least I would hope you would know that. Hopefully, as you age, as you grow as a Christian, there's less sin in your life, but we know that sin lurks, that sin is there, that even in our best efforts, we are not perfect. Sin is still there dealing with us. And we look forward to the day when Christ comes again, where we will be set free from the very presence of sin. But till then, it's still working. It's still trying to get a hold. It's still operating. It's still affecting our motivations. I mean, I know that is something as a father I felt, and even now as a father I feel, and as a grandfather, we feel the ways that we have fallen short in our parenting or grandparenting. The rhythms of the gospel serve us because of sin in our lives. It serves us in our parenting. So what are the rhythms of the gospel? The rhythms of the gospel are confession, repentance, and trust, leading to fresh obedience. I think that's important to say again. The rhythms of the gospel are confession, repentance, and trust, leading to fresh obedience. Daily, even often each day, I think we need to see our sin wherever and whatever it may be. We confess our sin to the Lord, acknowledging it came from our heart, acknowledging, admitting. That's what to confess means. We're admitting, we're agreeing with the Lord that this is sin, admitting our sin. We're owning it, okay? We confess our sin to the Lord. We then repent. Repentance is rejecting what we did. And it's a desire at the same time to act differently, to not do it anymore. It is saying, yes, I did that. Please forgive me. But then it's going there, and I don't want to do that anymore, Lord. Help me to never do that again. I would like to do what is pleasing to you in place of what I just did. And that takes time working in your heart. To get to the place of repentance, but that is a work of the Spirit in you and in me. We repent, and then we turn fully to Christ and trust, first, that our sin is covered, second, that our blame is removed, that our hearts are cleansed, and this brings this fresh hope and mercy every day. And again, this leads us to a renewed desire to obey God. The rhythms of the gospel are so important, not just in parenting, but in every part of our life. If we are going to grow in grace, then we need to understand the rhythms of the gospel. But for us in our topic, we're looking at how that affects parenting. So let me give you an example. Let's say we yelled at our kids for leaving the freezer door open. This is a classic thing. We, in that moment, let's say the Lord is working on us. He's showing us our heart. He's showing what made it, what motivated our actions, what motivated our words. We begin to see in that moment that we weren't motivated for His glory. We weren't motivated for His kingdom. We weren't motivated for His will being done. We weren't motivated even for the good of our kids. Rather, in that moment, we were motivated by a desire for our kids to not cause more work for us, that we have to come over and shut the door because the freezer door alarm is going off. And in that moment, our motivation is because we want them to be aware of the financial costs of leaving the door open and causing the compressor to continue to run. We want our kids to show that they are thoughtful of us. They're aware of our time. They're aware of our energy demands. We don't want them to be an inconvenience. And so we're motivated to put an end to it. So hopefully through that, the Spirit is working. We see our sin and we see the heart from which it came and we confess it. We confess what I did, we confess what we did, and we confess why we did it and why that was sinful. Because I wanted something more than I wanted the glory of God and the will of God. That's sin. It's sin for us in every area of life. And so we don't want to make excuses. We don't want to try to deflect away from our hearts. We have to own our sin. We have to be responsible for what we did. We then move to confess that what we did was wrong, and then we want to be different. We want to respond differently if and when that happens again. We determine that by the grace of God and the work of the Spirit in us, we don't want to respond ever again like that. we have this honest kind of conversation with the Lord. And then we finally open our heart to trust and depend on the Lord for His salvation to work through us, to change our heart and generate a different response with motives that honor Christ and want His will to be done and want glory to be brought to the Lord God, even through our kids leaving the freezer door open. So remember this. In difficult parenting moments, and just in day-to-day parenting, when you feel like you are in the trenches of parenting, remember, you are in need of grace as much as your child is. So you're looking for grace, not just for your child, you're looking for grace for you, for what's going on in your heart, what's winning your heart over, what's motivating you. So humble yourself before the Lord and find grace. Practice the rhythm of the gospel, the rhythms of the gospel continually. And when we do that, it reminds us of this truth that we are in need of grace. There's never a moment where we are not in need of the grace of God in our lives. And as part of practicing the rhythms of the gospel, we must know the difference between law and gospel in our parenting. The law is what is right. It is what God requires. It is what is true. Okay? And in that, as such, it is good and holy. The gospel is how God is at work in us to do what He requires of us. So the question is our parenting all law? Or is there the hope of Christ in our interactions with our children? Is our parenting mostly, maybe even only filled with, you need to stop doing that, you ought to do this, or you shouldn't do that, or you ought not to do that, or you must do this, or you must not do that? When we talk with those kinds of terms, all we're giving them is law. And telling someone, giving someone the law, doesn't give them the desire or the ability to obey. And it is important to teach our children what God requires. Absolutely. We must do that. But it is equally important to teach them to turn to Christ for help for what is required, and to teach them why Christ died and why He rose from the dead, and what it meant that He died in our place, but also what it meant that He lived a righteous life for us. We need to be teaching our kids. And in these moments with the freezer door open, you can do that in a small way. It is important to teach our children what God is doing for them, not just what they are supposed to do for God. If all we do is give the law and not the gospel, we have gutted the very heart and essence of the Christian faith and have made Christ's atoning sacrifice of little practical relevance. Our parenting must quickly get to and stay on the gospel with all of its wondrous provisions and promises. So, if you think about it, I just gave you a bunch of law of what to do. And I don't want to leave you with just law without also giving you the hope of the gospel. Where you have seen these things, you definitely need to confess, repent, and move to trust. But begin with thanking God that you heard this and that you want to reflect Him in both the law and the gospel in your parenting. Ask Him to teach you. Ask Him to guide your thoughts in this area. Ask Him to make you mindful of gospel rhythms during the day and around your children. Ask Him to give you insight to how to give the law that leads your children to the gospel. May our parenting be filled with the rhythms of the gospel, because when we do these things, listen, and look into the Spirit will energize us. The Spirit will equip us. The Spirit will do what is necessary within us as parents, as we determine to be faithful, to train our kids, to bring them up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. I pray today's podcast has been helpful. I pray God will pour His grace out on you in abundance as you seek to parent your children for His glory. I hope you will listen to this whole series on Christ-centered parenting, and I trust that you will find it encouraging and applicable to your family. Until the next podcast, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and it is all to the praise of His glorious grace.